The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Well, first, I want them to know it wasn't their fault. I think there's a lot of guilt and shame that are carried by victims of sexual abuse and trafficking.
Next, a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, Nicole Bromley, reaches out to help other victims.
There's still hang-ups that come up along the way. I still struggle. I still feel like a mess, but I feel like God meets me in that mess and He can still use me.
Bringing hope and healing to sexual abuse victims around the world. Next on Life Today.
For joining us. I'm Betty Robinson, and this is James.
Nicole Bromley is back with us. She wrote a book, and you just need to just kind of look at the cover for a moment, a broken crayon, and then the words, and you can tell it was written by a child. The S is backwards, and it's a child's writing. And the word says, hush. Whew, I almost began weeping when I imagined how that must have felt to a little girl that was being abused by her stepfather sexually. Moving from silence to healing after childhood sexual abuse. You know, there's some things that people do, you know, like overeat. Maybe people are tempted and even become addicted because they've got a weakness towards some kind of substance abuse. People have affairs. They're wrong. But you seem to be able to comprehend how it might happen. Maybe someone gets angry and foolishly hurts someone. But to take a little child, use him to gratify your own appetites, just how debased of human rationality and reason do you have to be to get to a point? How do adults become attracted to a little child? And of course, Betty, I asked the question, how can we seemingly without really flinching or batting an eye terminate the life of a little child in a womb where the little child wants to live? You may say they don't have any feelings. That must be what the predator says about a child. We're trying to stop the abuse of little girls and those that have been trapped and get them out. And we do this because viewers like you said, let's help those little girls. Well, Nicole was one of those little girls, only she wasn't exploited by someone who wanted to set up some prostitution or some illicit sex ring. She was abused by a family. And it was tough. But it also gave her a burden and a compassion to want to help others. You're going to see and listen to Nicole where she is going as a mission outreach partner with Life to the ends of the earth, to the very pits of hell, to try to rescue those who are suffering. Nicole, we're so glad to have you. Would you welcome Nicole Bromley back to Life Today? You want to go and speak to people about this issue in the churches, wherever they want you. If someone watching says, Nicole, how can we get you to come to our area and maybe, you know, tell girls how they can overcome? Because I have actually ask with heads bowed how many women or girls were abused. It's unbelievable. I'm having sometimes 30% to 50% of the audience either lift their hand or wail a shriek of pain. So if they wanted you to come, how would they contact you?
My website, iamonevoice.org. They can contact me there. You know, I've always felt called to be a voice for the voiceless. And when I share my story, it's the same situation. Girls, even boys, come forward out of the woodwork just to say, me too. And I think there's a lot of power in that. So my heart is to speak to churches, to universities, to schools, to conferences, and put a voice to this voiceless crime.
And there is the website. You can see it on the screen. And I hope you will get Nicole to come because she is truly anointed and gifted of God to help. We're going to actually in a moment go with you to the mission fields where you went to help us rescue those that have been trapped. And we're actually making your book available to those who are watching who will say, I want to do something about it. I want to at least do my part to make a difference. But what would you want those who are watching now who have been in some way hurt, what do you want them to hear?
Mm-hmm. Well, first I want them to know it wasn't their fault. I think there's a lot of guilt and shame that are carried by victims of sexual abuse and trafficking, and it's not theirs to carry. And that's the first thing, to break the silence, to speak and share your story, to share your secret. I think that's the first step to healing. And then I also think that there's a lot of power in not just letting it be your story, but understanding that it's everyone's story. So many of us are carrying hurts, traumas, abuse, and we need to rise against it. And that's why I don't want to just stop with writing books and sharing my story. I want to travel the world, and I want to say no to sex trafficking.
Nicole, when you talk about, even in your subheading, breaking the silence, mm-hmm. I can imagine that girls that have been, you know, taken advantage of, they'd be very frightened to talk about it. Who do you recommend a child? Who does a child go to, mm-hmm. and without the fear of the threats or reprisal that can come, the horror that could come by them going? What do they do? What do you suggest?
I tell kids and adults who've never broken their silence, who do you trust? Who do you feel comfortable with? Who do you think would believe you? And you tell. And you tell until you're believed. So many times I speak and people will say, you know, I did break the silence. I told my mom, but unlike your mom, they didn't believe me. They told me to hush, you know. Or they told me that I just needed to be quiet and protect our family name, or so many kinds of things. And so I say, you tell until someone believes you. And it takes a lot of courage to tell.
Did it take a while before you were believed? Did it take an extended period of time? And were you fearful of being hurt because you did tell?
Yeah, I was sexually abused for nearly a decade by my stepfather. I was scared to death of telling. For one, no one talked about abuse when I grew up. No one told me that this was wrong. There was no education there about this kind of thing. And I believe my stepdad. He was very well known in our community, respected. I loved him and trusted him. I didn't have a reason, you know, not to. And so for many years, I believed that what he was doing was teaching me, like he said, or this is what girls go through when they grow up. And that if I ever told, I'd never see my mom again, that no one would believe me because I was just a little girl. So for many reasons, I was silent, and I kept silent for that long. But I'm so glad that I finally told when I was 14 years old, and my mom did believe me.
What, because of the abuse that you went through, how did this affect you in other relationships? Mm. You know, mm-hmm. and did it give you appetites for things that weren't necessarily good for you?
Sure, I think that any child who has been violated in such a way will have those types of things growing up. You know, you look at yourself as a sexual object, that's where love and affection come from, that's your value. And so I do, looking back and realizing that healing is a lifelong journey. This isn't something where I can stand here, and though I'm free of the shame and the pain, and I believe God has delivered me to not only be free of that, but to be a voice to it, there's still hang-ups that come up along the way. I still struggle. I still feel like a mess. But I feel like God meets me in that mess, and He can still use me.
You found healing when you began to offer healing and help to someone else. Am I right about that? Because I have. Coming out of difficult circumstances, I find great fulfillment in reaching out to lift someone else out of the pit of despair.
That's exactly.
You found that same piece.
Yeah, I feel like my life calling is right there in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. It talks about how God comforts us in our troubles so we can comfort others in their trouble. And that can be anything. You know, God comforts every single one of us in some way in our life. And He calls us to not just accept it, but to reach out and offer it to others. And that's why I want to be a missionary. I want to be a mouthpiece to the world of the comfort that God gives me, not just back then, not just today, but in the future, because this healing thing is forever, you know, and I want to continue to receive, but also to give.
I want us to go and just watch you as you are recapping your recent mission trip. Let's join Nicole in another country where it's very difficult.
So this is my first time in Southeast Asia, and my very first opportunity to come face to face with the victims of sex trafficking here. The girls that I met in the brothel really expressed so much of feeling trapped, feeling hopeless, feeling like there was no way out for them. And, you know, I can just remember myself as a young girl being sexually abused by my stepdad over and over again as a child, feeling like there was no way out. I had no voice. I had a secret to keep, and there was nothing I could do about it. And these girls are living through the same thing day after day, you know, night after night. And I can just imagine how hopeless that felt. You know, I even asked one of them what help looked like. What would it look like to be helped out of this situation? And she couldn't even come up with an answer, because to her, there was no help. There was no option. That broke my heart, because, you know, that's what we're here for. That's what we as Christians are here to do. We're here to help people. You know, Jesus came to rescue these girls. And here she's telling me that she doesn't feel like she can be rescued, that this is what her purpose is in life. I feel like when I walked into those brothel rooms, that my life changed. You know, I've always asked God, ever since I got rescued from my situation, that if He could break my heart for what breaks His heart, that was my ministry. And here I was sitting in a brothel room with these girls who have not been rescued. And God was answering my prayer. He was breaking my heart for what breaks His. And now my only answer is, you know, that I want to bring hope to these girls, that I want to bring rescue to these girls. They shouldn't be living through this. We can be the answer. We really can. I believe that. But we've got to become an army against this. The body of Christ could totally change the culture, could totally change the world when it comes to modern-day slavery. But we have to be willing to let our hearts be broken for these girls.
You know, Nicole, you were in a very challenged country. You were in Cambodia. You know, we've got life centers in Thailand, which is the sex capital of the world, and built the largest life center there to rescue girls. And we supported for years Mark Rutland, who's been the president of Oral Roberts University for several years, and has recently moved on and doing mission work continuously. We've been working with him for a long time, rescuing people in that area, but all over the world, Ukraine, many places. The thing I think our viewers want to know, do these missionaries and relief workers that we support, we meaning the viewers, Life Outreach, all of us together, are they effective in what they do, and does it really, really work? Do we succeed in getting children before the predator gets them, heading them off from the lies that take them, and then actually getting them out when they've been trapped for an extended period of time? Does it work?
I can tell you, I network all over the country, all over the world, with organizations who are doing the job of anti-trafficking. And I have never been so moved, so amazed, so inspired by what Life Outreach does. And I'm telling you that. I've been sharing that ever since I returned home, because you guys are the real deal. You're a family, first. But secondly, you are God's people who are making matches all over the world. The way you partner is amazing. And the missionaries that are there, they go out. They go to the villages and they say, don't sell your kids to these. They're beating them there. They're beating the traffickers to the village. Because the traffickers will come and they'll tell this great story of how they're going to take their daughters and give them a better life than they could ever give them, these parents, you know. And the parents think they're godsends, these men who come and put their daughters on a bus and give them a job and an education and teach them English, and they're going to send all this money home and see their daughters in 2 years. Well, I saw what happens to those girls. It is not a godsend. It's straight evil. It's the pit of hell these girls are going through. And what Life Outreach is doing is beating the traffickers to these parents and saying, don't do it, you know? And they're not only doing that, but they're rescuing these girls.
We're speaking the truth in love.
Yes.
And we're demonstrating it by giving them a chance, by giving them an alternative. Because now you think about it, in a terribly impoverished area, if some smooth talker, may have some money, says, we're going to take your daughter, who needs to learn a trade and a job, who will really be able to succeed and be able to help the family. We're going to take them off. We're going to give them a good education, a good job. And they believe them. Mm-hmm. And away they go. And in a little while, you're going to hear from a mother as she was actually talking about what happened. And it's so typical, isn't it, of what's happening all over, let's say, third world countries, and frankly is even happening here, where people are recruiting girls by getting teenage boys to go talk them in to doing something, and then they get them hooked on drugs and they use them. And many times they never get back home. And then they're bringing people across our borders and trafficking girls, telling them they're going to take them to another country, America, where they're going to get ahead. The sexual predation, number one, we got a real problem with men who are out of control. They don't have normal desires, normal attraction. They've been taken beyond. They've been taken into a pit of defeat themselves. And then you've got the exploiter for money who will take these girls and use them for selfish gain, to use them up and destroy them, oftentimes kill them. Well, love is their hope, and it really does work. The same way you've been healed in your heart, and only God's love and God's grace and others that you were able to talk to enabled you to make it, right?
That's right. I think trafficking in America is about lovelessness in the family, the fatherlessness. It's girls here in America are looking for that. They don't have daddies. They don't have anyone to tell them what love looks like. And so they go out and a trafficker comes along, a pimp, and says, "You're my girl. You know, I'm your daddy." That's all they want. And so I would have been vulnerable
to that.
You felt that
when you came here because you felt like we cared about you.
That's exactly right.
You felt family love. You felt it a way of father love, didn't you?
Yes, I
did. And then you want to take that out because you know people need that. That's what everybody's looking for.
That's exactly right.
And it's really what we're able to do. Mm-hmm. But the thing I think people need to understand, you can see the missionary and you see the work. But without the viewer enabling them to build, to take care of the girls, there wouldn't be any mission outreach. The bottom line in taking the gospel is the one who sends it, not just the one who preaches it, not just the one who goes, but the one who sends. That's the one, that's what Paul talked about when he was writing to the Romans. The bottom line in reaching people is the sender, even beyond the preacher or the missionary. So to our viewers all over the world, because they're watching us virtually worldwide, and in every province in Canada, every state in the United States, are our viewers assured that when we say it works, it works?
I can testify to that. And I will say, too, I believe that this is a very strategic work. There's only specific people who can do this work of rescuing girls in brothels. It's very dangerous, and there's only a few who are called and qualified. But God needs all of us to gather together and to send them. We have to fund them. We have to enable their work to even happen. Without your viewers, this stuff would never happen. Girls would not be rescued, and that message would not be taken to these villages.
They need a place for these girls to come to when they get them out of those
situations.
A place for them to feel safe and
secure. They need a safe home
and that family environment.
Yep.
I think what we've learned is, and this is where I believe God gifts people to lead in the church, the family of God, the family of faith. We have a gift of discernment as believers. We believe as ministry leaders, which we are, we lead a ministry. We try to lead people to Christ. We try to lead people to walk with Christ in the Spirit of God, in the spirit of love and compassion. We believe that you discern what's effective and you discern truth. And then you bear witness of it and you support it. That's where all the body parts fit together, supplying each need, lower arm, upper arm, the hand, submitting to the head, which is Christ, the will of God. That's what we're seeking to do. You make it possible. You're the ones that put the oil in the lantern, the light that's burning. Now, I want you to listen very, very closely to a woman who tells you firsthand experience with her own daughters, what you just heard.
Daughters, what a precious gift. You want the very best for them. Yim, mother of two, thought she found it.
Thinking that someone's going to take care of your kids and give them a better life than you can give them, and then finding out that they're going through the most horrendous evil that could ever possibly happen. And
it was the promise of a life she couldn't provide. What it meant was letting them go. What it became was something altogether different. Her oldest managed to make it back home, but almost unrecognizable from the abuse, and in a condition which quickly took her life. Yim's youngest daughter has neither been found nor heard from again.
Sex trafficking has completely ruined her whole life, her family. She has nothing. She has no children here. She has two beautiful daughters, and all she has is the pictures to look at. We have to help her. No mom should ever have to face this. This mom is living it. We have to help her.
Somebody's precious girls.
You know, James, as I was watching that, I think evil looks for vulnerability. It looks for the helpless to destroy, seeks to destroy. And this precious mother thought she was doing what was best for her daughters. She wanted them to have a better life. What parent wouldn't? We always want the best for our children. But she was deceived. Evil came and took her children. And now she weeps, her heart is broken. And I think that's just one example of what's happening to these children. They need hope. They need someone to care for them. They need a place to go, to lay their heads and rest.
You know, one of the girls that you saw, obviously was blinded in one eye. Oh, a lot of the little children that we rescue in places like Mumbai and other places of poverty, they'll get these little children and they'll cut their hand off or they'll blind them so they become better beggars. I don't know how she was blinded, but she was obviously abused. But then the other little girl, that other daughter, they don't know where she is. And Betty, I couldn't help but think that wouldn't it be wonderful if we could find her daughter and at least show her she's going to be okay. And then you need to know that we get those girls like that we find, and we're able to give them a home. And when I say we, please understand we. Betty and I support every outreach of life because we believe in it. And many of the outreaches we believe in because of people like you. You showed us something that needed to be done. And you said, James, would you help? And I said, well, I'll help if we can get others to join us. And you do. And you really wanted to do this. You wanted to rescue these girls. And amazingly, it costs only $128 to rescue a child. That's to get a woman or a child out and then take care of them. And that actually includes being able to get secure facilities. Even sometimes it means building it. And when you build it, then you ask viewers to help us do it. And we've been able to build some incredible life centers. We're going to ask you to help restore one that has been damaged by fire and actually enlarge it because it's so effective. But you see, what we're doing is we're rescuing those girls that are going to have happen just what happened there. Somebody told that mother, we're going to give your girls a future. And they destroyed their future and their lives. Can't even find one of them. Would you now say, I will rescue a girl, a child? Sometimes it's boys that are trafficked. And it costs $128. Would you make that gift? Or would you make as large a gift toward that as you can? Because I believe others will join you. If there's any way you could help us rescue 10, make a $1,280 gift. Would you do that? You know, multiply what that woman needed by five. I mean, just do that and get the 10. Would you help us? And then would you help us restore and expand the life center that burned in the Ukraine, where our wonderful missionaries who lost their little newborn son, Joshua. The McCanns are the greatest lovers of children we've ever seen for the glory of God. We need to rebuild that life center. We need $275,000. That's additional. God, would you touch 275 people to give $1,000? Would you, Father? Would you be one of them? God's touched your heart. Could you give $1,280 to say, I'm going to rescue 10? Whatever you can do, $128 will rescue one of them. Dial the number, please. Take your bank card, use it like a check. Would you do that? Or you can go online, lifetoday.org, or write a check. But call us and tell us what you're doing. And thank you so much. We have some beautiful gifts for you to bless you and help you because we love you and we want to bless your life as you bless others. We will be saying thank you by blessing you.
human trafficking. It's hard to believe it's happening. But at this very moment, innocent boys and girls, many very young, are being forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can help reach, rescue, and restore thousands of children from the horrors of the sex trade in Thailand, Cambodia, India, Ukraine, and many other nations. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their life forever. And with gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your gifts with others to help reach, rescue, and restore one more child from the horrors of their kidnappers. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Free to Be Me, Betty Robison's updated account of how she moved from fear and insecurity to true freedom. You'll also receive the companion journal for your quiet time and daily reflections. With your gift of $128 or more to help rescue a child, be sure to request your copy of the Life Application Study Bible. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help rebuild the Life Center in Ukraine, destroyed by fire, or $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request the limited edition bronze sculpture titled Christian. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I hope you will make the $1,000 gift or the $1,280 gift and ask for the bronze, the 50th anniversary commemorative bronze. And by the way, if you haven't marked down the 18th to the 20th of July to come be with us, Awaken Now, the conference here, Governor Huckabee, who used to work here at Life Outreach for 4 years, Andy Andrews, Beth Moore, Christine Kane, Tony Evans, man, I'm telling you, you're going to be blessed. And we want you to join us. Betty's book, Free to Be Me, for any gift, along also for your gift, the Life Application Bible. If you would like to have Nicole Brumley's story, Hush, what an incredible, powerful story of her freedom from the abuse and its effects. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks again to Nicole? We love you, Nicole. Thank you for being like family to us. Helping us help others. And we are your partners. We partner with Nicole in outreaches to rescue those who've been abused. Thank you so much for helping.
God's love is overwhelming, but if you can just get a hold of a little bit of it.
Best-selling author and pastor, Dr. David Jeremiah, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.